Blog Talk Radio.
Live from the bold and beautiful city of Jacksonville, Florida. I'm your host, Dr. Mary Smith McCoy, and yes, this is the day the the Lord has made, and we wish to rejoice and be glad in it. We want you to know today that we are excited about what God has given us and what God is about to do. We're excited about the Word of God. For the Word of God says to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman of God need not be ashamed to rightly divide the Word of truth. He said that we shall know the truth, and the truth will make us free. So today here on the Breakthrough broadcast, you're going to get a chance to hear truth. You're going to get a chance to hear the Word of God. Our topic for the day is hindrance to prayer. And we want you to know how prayer, how important prayer is. So therefore, you have time to call a neighbor, call a friend, and let them know that the Breakthrough broadcast is on the air. Yes, we're getting ready at this time to go before the throne of grace, and we want you to take the time and come and go with us, because the Word of God let us know that man should always pray and not to faint. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you, we praise you, we magnify your name. We thank you to God for the great, for the mighty things that you have done. Great and mighty things that you're going to do according to your word. Today we thank you, God, because your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. Thy word, your word, how we hid in our heart that we will not sin against thee. Lord God, have your way in this broadcast. Move in the hearts of your people. Your words say, if my people that are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, seek your face, turn from their wicked way, God, you said that you will hear from heaven. You said, God, that you will forgive the sin. You said, God, that you will heal the land. So today, Father, we ask you, Lord God, to have your way. We pray, God, that souls will be saved and lives will be changed. And this we will glorify and magnify your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You're listening to the Breakthrough broadcast. We are broadcasting live from the bold and beautiful city of Jacksonville, Florida. I would like just to take this time to introduce to you our panelists on the Breakthrough broadcast. Our first panelist I would like to introduce to you is Dr. June Normill. She's an ordained minister of the Gospel of Jesus Christ. Her bishop is none other than Elijah Johnson. And Dr. Normill today will be speaking to us about unconfessed sin, which will be coming from Psalm, the 66th chapter, 17 through the 12th verse, and Isaiah, the 59th chapter, verses 1 and 2. Now, right after that, we're going to have Miss Helen Watson. She is the executive director and founder of Latest Crisis Center for Girls here in Jacksonville, Florida. To follow her will be Miss Nicola Garrett. She is the chairperson for Latest Crisis Center for Girls here also in Jacksonville, Florida. Her topic today will be flawed relationships. And that scripture text will come from Matthew, the 18th chapter, the 29th through the 30th. Fifth verse. And then following her, we will have Pastor Francina Shank from the state of Texas. And she is the founder of Reaching Souls for Jesus Outreach Deliverance Ministry. And Pastor Shank will be speaking on unbelief. And that scripture is Matthew, the 17th chapter, 14 through the 21st verse. You just will go ahead and get your Bible. And then to follow, we have Pastor Lewis Malone. He is the senior pastor of Cross Temple Christian Center. And he will follow Pastor Shanks with the beat section on unbelief. Scripture text will come from Hebrews, the 11th chapter, and that 6th verse, and James, the 1st chapter, 5 through 8. Now, let me let you know again that our topic, our main topic today, is hindrances to prayer. And the key verse that we want to focus on is, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Now, that came from the King James Version, but let me read the NIV. It says, if I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. Our central truth is, we can overcome hindrances to prayer by following biblical directive. When I began to read the Word of God, the Word of God let us know, when we think about prayer, the Word of God said, man shall always pray and not to faint. When we think about prayer, prayer bridges the gap from earth to heaven. It's our way of communicating with God. But there can be a hindrance to our communication with God when we have iniquity in our heart, when we have unforgiveness, when we are have things in our heart that is gross, which is gross injustice or wickedness, when we violate a right of others, when we violate things of God, especially God's word, we cannot have iniquity in our heart. So therefore, we're getting ready. I want you to, don't forget, call that neighbor, call that friend. Let them know that the breakthrough broadcast is on the air. We're getting ready to go to our panelists for today, and we're going to begin with Dr. June Normia. Dr. Normia is going to come to us, and she is going to speak, as I said before. Our first topic is unconfessed sin. I would like to welcome Dr. June Normia to the Breakthrough Broadcast. Dr. Normia?
Thank you, Dr. McCoy. Give an honor to God for allowing me to come before you today, also to the radio panel and also the radio audience. My topic is unconfessed sin. And we've been talking about unconfessed sin. It is the most obvious hindrance to a healthy prayer life. It's the presence of unconfessed sin in the heart of the person who is praying. It's in fact the one who is praying, not the one who you are praying to, such as God. But because God is holy, there are barriers that exist between him and us when we come to him with unconfessed sins in our lives. Psalm 66:17 through 20 says, I cried unto him with my mouth, and he was extolled. I mean, he was praised with my tongue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But verily, God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be the God who has not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. And the psalmist was saying in that text that his prayer got through. He was able to communicate to God, and God heard his cry because he did not regard iniquity in his heart. So what you have to know is what the meaning of iniquity is, what you think do it mean to cherish sin in our heart. But it's a one important distinct must be made between ongoing struggles and sins and the act of cherishing sin. sometimes, and we all are human, we do make mistakes, and we do have ongoing struggles daily in our lives and often in our lives. But when you cherish something, that means you embrace it. That means you have made that a part of you. And cherishing, you know, there's a sense of taking pleasure in it. That means you enjoy what you're doing. And we're talking about sin right now. You embrace it. You have got it so close to you. And it's just a part of your lifestyle. That means a daily part of your lifestyle. You know, but a lot of times we can't imagine ourselves cherishing sin because sometimes it could come in so subtle. It's a little subtle things that take place, such as a negative attitude towards your coworkers. You can have an unhealthy desire for a coworker, unhealthy desire for possessions or someone else's possession, or even an unwillingness to follow God's leading. You know, can be small sins, but if we allow those things to continue, you know, it will render our prayers empty and powerless, for we will not have our clear conscience, and when we approach God, and God will not hear us. It's almost like you're talking to a person, because prayer is simply communicating with God, just like I'm talking to you. And just imagine you talking to God face-to-face, or a person face-to-face, and when you're talking to them, they got their head turned away from you. Their face is not facing you. And then also, their ears are stopped. It's just like, imagine God got ear muscles on his ears, his face is turned toward away from you. That's just how it is when our prayers become before God with iniquity in our heart. And when we cherish, I mean, you hold on to things like that. And it doesn't matter, because you could be, and we could be even people of God. You know, we could pay all the tithes we want to pay. We could be faithful church members. We could see ourselves not even really having conflict with one another. But if we have unconfessed sin in our heart, God will not hear our prayer. That's simply what the psalmist say. That's the word of God. And it seems like little simple things a lot of times. We don't really think about things like that. We don't really want to acknowledge that because of God's grace is so good. And a lot of times people, we could just take that his grace for granted. And then a lot of things, our prayers are not being answered, and we're trying to wonder why. And it's simply because we could have sin harboring our heart. We have embraced that thing that we've taken very little, and likely that is not happening. But God wants to hear our prayers because God loves us. God wants us to communicate with us. You know, our prayers can be disrupted and cause a barrier, a lack of communication with God, not because of what's in God's heart, but because of what's in our heart and what we have done. But because all believers, we all have shortcomings, and we all have struggles. Everybody do. We will do that. But even the strongest believer, you know, they're lured by temptation and moments of weakness. We all will have those moments every now and then. But it's not to say that we all are weak and all our prayers are ineffective. That's not true. But if we regard or cherish sin, it will lead to spiritual tragedy. We can't hold on to sin. We first have to acknowledge that we have sin. Because the Bible says if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. But a lot of times, we get in our mindset, and we as people, we want to categorize sins, and we determine what we might call a white lie or a black lie, or what we call sin. But the Bible, the scripture tell us what sin is. It's transgressed to the word of God, and we would know what sin is. But when we try to just hide that thing and not even acknowledge that, because of God's so good, you know, he may even continue to bless us, and we continue to just keep living a life and doing things with that unconfessed sin in our life, sooner or later, it will get to the point that God will not hear our prayers. It'll be a stumbling block to different areas in our life. But you can't be compromising with sin. We got to always know, even when we sin, we got to have a repentant spirit to repent of that sin and ask God for forgiveness, because that way God would be able to forgive us and answer our prayers even when we sin, when we forgive others. But we got to be significant, and we got to be open, we got to be willing, and we got to let God know that we have sinned when we do sin, and God will forgive us. And the psalmist also says inside Isaiah 59:1-2, he said, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear." And that is so simple. Simple because God hates sin. He don't hate the person who has committed sin, but he hates the act of the sin. And he has separated God from it. It's that God can't reach us, his hand short. It's not that he's deaf, his ears so dull, he can't hear us, but simply because our sins have separated us from God. But when we do not regard and cherish sin and embrace it, we'll be able to confess that sin. We'll be able to willingly say, God, it was me. Help me. I did this thing. I said that. Please forgive me. As simple as that, God will forgive us for that sin. But we know even in that, saying God's hand is not short, he is not heavy, we can know that God hears us when we confess and we repent of our sin. And he do hear us, and he wants to hear us. He loves communicating with his children. And that's what we are created to do, to communicate with God. But when we recognize sin in our lives, we need to come to God for cleansing. We don't need to try to perpetrate and just try to act like it's not, because we can't flam-flam God. We can't fool God. We make a fool others, and sometimes we even deceive ourselves, but we cannot deceive God. And it's not that God got a hard, trivial puzzle he tried to let us figure out. He already gave us the remedy to what to do. He knew we was going to sin. He knew we were going to fall. He knew we were going to make mistakes. But he made it the way so plain, so simple, saying if you confess your sins, if you confess your sin, not that you sin, I know you was going to sin, but if you confess your sin, I'm faithful enough to forgive you for your sins and to cleanse you. That means to wash us from all unrighteousness. It's as simple as that. But a lot of times we got to learn how to acknowledge our sins, and we got to know how to repent of our sins and just believe God for restoring us and just causing us not to harbor, not to hold on to sin. Because a clean heart and a clear conscience give confidence to enter God's presence and presence of our request to him. But we don't want to just have a vain conversation to God. We want to be able to talk to God, and God wants to talk back to us. And we want to be able to say and to know without effect every time that I pray, I know that God hear me. I know that God is going to answer my prayer, because I'm not hiding and holding on, embracing or cherishing iniquity. I have asked God to cleanse me. And we just thank God for just giving us this word for today, unconfessed sin, and what to do about unconfessed sin, knowing that even though if we do sin, there is a remedy, there is an antidote of confessing and not embracing sin. Back to you, Dr. McCoy.
Thank you, Dr. Normill. We are talking about unconfessed sin. Unconfessed sin. The Word of God let us know that we confess with our mouth. And we're talking about the unbeliever, and then we want to make a believer as well. Word of God says, we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, he said that we shall be saved. I thank God for one scripture that came to me as Dr. Norman was speaking. That is the Word of God says, but God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And I can think of the sins and transgression, the things that men and women, boys and girls have done, and how they have grieved the heart of God, the things that they have said, things that they've done in their lifetime. But I thank God for the love of God. I thank God that God didn't hold that against us. I thank God he didn't keep his healing power from us. He didn't keep his deliverance from us because of what we did, because of what we said, because of how we acted. I thank God that he forgave us for all the things that we did. So we must move on. I believe that this is the Word of God for today. What we're talking about today, unconfessed sin. And then we're going to move a little further, and we're going to talk about the flawed relationship. And that is going to be coming from Ms. Helen Watson. And she, as I said before, will be coming from Matthew, the 18th chapter, the 21st to that 28th verse. Come on, we still have time. Call a friend, call a neighbor. Tell them that the Breakthrough Broadcast is on the air, and you must hear this word of God for today. Ms. Helen Watson.
Thank you, Dr. McCoy, and hello to our broadcast listeners once again and to our broadcast family and our special guest speakers today. And I am going to be coming from, like Dr. McCoy said, Matthew, the 18th chapter, the 21st through the 28th verse, and it reads, "Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus said unto him, I say unto thee, until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife, and his children, and all that he had, in payment to be made. And the 26th verse says, the servants therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay. In the 27th chapter, verse says, then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him of his debt. And the 28th verse says, but the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And we see here in this particular verses where we're talking about flock relationships. And we're talking about, when I started to read, I started just reading about unforgiving. It's about an unforgiving servant. And when I started to just go on and read down where I liken it into how we go to God, and we know that we have sinned and we have done things that we're not supposed to do, and in some of our relationships are flawed because we're human and because we're flesh. And flawed means having imperfections, and we all know we all have imperfections. And when we have imperfections, we have to ask for forgiveness. We have to ask God for forgiveness because we know that we can sin because we're human and we're flesh. But I kept reading down, and I liken it to when we go to God and we ask Him for forgiveness because we know there's something that we've done. We know that there's something we have in our heart or in our mind, and we know we sin somewhere. So those of us who say we're without sin, that is not the truth, because all of us have fallen short of the glory. The Bible, the Word says that. But when I kept reading, I was seeing that the servant was forgiven for his debt. It says that the servant was moved, his Lord was moved with compassion concerning that servant, and he forgave him of his debt. He released him of that debt. And I think that's what God does for us when we come to Him with forgiveness in our heart. And we're talking about flawed relationships, because sometimes we can hurt people, we can say things, we can do things, we know we're wrong, we hold grudges, we covet people's things. And I heard our first people saying how we covered some things that we're not supposed to covet, some people's houses, cars. We do things and we hold things in our heart. And we all know that unforgiveness in our heart, we will not enter into the kingdom of God. He will not forgive us. If we don't forgive, He will not forgive us. And we know we cannot enter into the kingdom without being forgiven. So we're talking about flawed relationships. And when we're the body of Christ, we have to know that we have to go to God for that imperfection that we have, that in whatever relationship. It may be with someone in the church. It may be with a pastor. It may be with anybody. But the body of Christ needs to learn how to repent of their sins and let go. When I was reading down in verse 27, when it said He had compassion, that's how God looks at us. He has compassion on us to forgive us for our sin, and that's how we should be. The body of Christ needs to learn how to go to God with things in their heart. Sometimes you just have to chop it up. If somebody has hurt your feelings or somebody has done something to you, and you know you're right and you know they're wrong, you cannot just go and say and do anything. And we see here that servant went out and he found someone that owed him money, and he did the total opposite. And that's how it is sometimes. He did the total opposite. Now, he was forgiven for his debt, and God forgives us for our sins. Like when we go to Him and we ask forgiveness, He forgives us. But we cannot turn around and not forgive someone else. That is not holy. That's not what God would have us to do. You still have unforgiveness in your heart. You have not let it go. Sometimes we need to just turn the mirror on ourselves, and we need to ask God to bridle our tongue and subdue our passions. That means to get control and get control of our passions and what we really want to say and what we really want to do, because we need to get back to that. Because if you're living clean and holy and you want to be in order with God and you want God to forgive you and you want that forgiveness, you don't want anything to stifle your prayers. Now, you don't want anything to hinder your prayers, and that's our main topic today, hindrance to prayer. You don't want anything to hinder your prayer from God, but if you have unforgiveness in your heart, that's exactly what you're doing, because that prayer that you're praying, it will fall to the ground. He will not hear it because you're not forgiven. That word clearly says if you do not forgive. That over in Matthew, I think it's in 6th chapter, the 15th verse, it said, but if you forgive not their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. That means if you don't forgive your fellow man, if you don't forgive that coworker, if you don't forgive that pastor, you don't forgive that elder, you don't forgive that person just in your life that has wronged you, then your sins will not be forgiven. And people will say, well, I'm just going to hold on to it. Well, forgiveness is not for that other person. It is for you, because you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven if you don't have a pure heart. If there is unforgiveness in your heart, you will not enter into the kingdom of God. So that forgiveness is for you. It is not for that other person. And when we in relationships, because we are human and we are going to err, we need to always check ourselves to see if we're in standing, we're in good standing with God. I told somebody the other day, you need to know that you're blameless in the situation. Just like when Jesus was hanging on the cross and he asked God, forgive them because they know not what they do. He didn't say a mumbling word, and they crucified him. He didn't say a mumbling word, so we should take him as an example all of the time. He should be an example for us, because that's what he did. Even though they crucified him, he was still asking God to forgive them because they knew not what they were doing. They didn't know who he was. But since we know who he is and we know what the word says, we should be going to him for forgiveness. Like I said, it's not for that other person, because sometimes people hurt you and they won't come back. They're not going to say anything. They're not going to give any accolades. They're not going to come back and say that they're sorry. They will shout all over you and still just keep going. But you don't know their relationship with God. But be blameless in the situation. You have to forgive them, and you have to keep going. We cannot harbor, we cannot have a stony heart. Because when we have stony hearts, that means that thing starts to wear and tear, and then it turns into something else, and then it turns into hate and bitterness, and then that will hinder our prayers. Unforgiveness will always hinder our prayers. And when we go to God, we need to be sincere. We don't need to give it to him and then take it back, because when you see that person, you might think, oh, my God, you know, I thought of what they did to me. It comes up again. When you give it to him and let it stay there, because if you take it back, then you're going to have to start all over again to get back in that place where you were. If you have peace with that thing, leave it there. Leave it at the altar where it is. Unforgiveness, you just have to let it go. And sometimes we know it's hard to do that, no matter what it is. We all have hurt. We all have stories to tell. But we have to be forgiving to one another. We have to be forgiving of people in our lives. And these flawed relationships, they are always going to be flawed. But we always need to be blameless in our situations. We cannot have blood on our hands and go to God. We cannot have dirty hands, hold up dirty hands to God. You're going to have to be blameless in this situation. So we're talking about flawed relationships, and here we see that unforgiving service. And our main topic is hindrance to prayers. And we all know, like I said, unforgiveness will hinder every prayer that you pray. God will not hear it. It will fall to the ground, and you will be stifled where you are. You will be stagnated where you are. Back to you, Dr. McCord.
Yes, you're talking about hindrances to prayer. Thank you, Ms. Watson, because she told us, even as we went from Dr. June Normeal to Ms. Watson, and they told us, they let us know what hindrances to prayer, and you know, as you began to read the Word of God, and you know how important prayer is. You know how important it is to get an answer from God. And sometimes we say, Lord, why I'm not hearing from you? God, why you not hearing when I made my request to you? God, you said to make my request before you. But we have to think in our heart, what is it, Lord God, that I'm holding? What is it, God, that's inside of me? What is it, God, that will cause me not to have a clean heart and a right spirit? When I began to think of David, David said, told God, after he had sinned with Bathsheba, and, you know, David, the word tell us that David was a man after God's own heart. But David got out of place with God. Like, you know, we get out of place with God. But yet he was quick to repent. He was quick to go to God. He didn't hold iniquity. He didn't hold these gross injustice and wickedness and violations of things in our heart and unfairness and all of this in his heart. But David said, listen, he said, create in me. Come on. Create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit. And renew within me a right spirit. We need to be like David. We need to be humble, and we need to ask God, Lord, forgive me for my sin. Create in me, Lord God, that clean heart. I want nothing but a clean heart, nothing but a spotless heart. Anything that's in my heart that displeasing you, God, I don't want it. You know, in the Word of God, and we say so often sometimes, that the Word of God, he said, he's coming back for a church without spot or blemishes. So therefore, he's not talking about those cathedral towers. He's not talking about the bricks and the stones. He's talking about the individual, their soul. They're talking about the on the inside of them, that heart which God wanted David wanted God to search him to know his heart. Search him, God, and create in me a clean heart. Oh, this is a good topic for today. We're going to walk on. We're going to move on. We're getting ready to hear from our next panelist, who we're so happy to have with us today on Breakthrough Broadcast. And she is going to pick up that second part two of Flawed Relationship, which has come from Matthew, the 18th chapter, 29th through the 35th verse. We would like to welcome Miss Nicola Garrett to the Breakthrough Broadcast. Miss Garrett, God bless you.
God bless you. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for inviting me to your broadcast, Dr. McCoy. I count it as an honor. And I just want to say that dealing with flawed relationships, according to the scriptures that have been spoken to, I know that Helen and I are basically sharing from the same verse. One verse that scripture that I wanted to bring in or topic is the fruit of the Spirit. And one of the fruit of the Spirit is temperance, i.e. self-control. And I think what God is trying to, in just simple layman terms, get his people to realize, or people in general, is that we need to respect each other. We need to treat and love each other as we love ourselves. And if we can get to the point to where we could subject ourselves in humility and see things from the other person's perspective, not in agreement with a bad place that they may be in or the sin that they may be in, but see where they are so that we can have compassion. Because Jesus always put him in a place to be able to see the point of view from the other person's perspective. And that's how you have to deal in having unflawed relationships. And so many times when Jesus went out to minister to anyone, to minister to the people, he ministered to the need. If there was someone hungry, he didn't start preaching right away. If someone needed to be healed, he didn't go off and do whatever else he had to do. He performed a miracle for them. So even when we are in that same vein, even when we have been offended or we have offended someone, part of your lesson that I read is that the person who has offended another individual or who has received the offense, if I should say, should be the first one to go and say, hey, you know what, maybe I misunderstood you. Maybe we need to talk this through. Because one of the issues that I see in the body of Christ today, and even in the secular world, is that we make a lot of assumptions about the way a person may be feeling, about what they may be thinking, and we make that assumption before approaching them, or we've already sized up the situation before we've had an opportunity to speak with someone. So we already have this stuff built up inside of us based off of a false assumption. So I really believe that God is trying to get us to a point to where, again, both women elegantly said that we need to go back to compassion. We need to go back to forgiveness, and we need to definitely go back to thinking and loving each other as we love ourselves. That's one of, you know, that's one of the commandments. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. And going back to that self-control, that will help us all. Thank you.
Thank you, Miss Nicola Garrett. We thank God for the woman and the women of God on today, how the Lord is using to speak through them, how God has given them insight, how God has given them vision, how God is speaking to their heart through the word of God. And we are so excited about what God has done in the past, what God is doing even right now, how he is giving us more of his spirit, how he's giving us more of his anointing, how he's giving us more of his power, and how he is empowering us, how he's equipping us for the gospel, for to take the word to the four quarters of this world, to be able to win souls for the kingdom. We can't do it if we have iniquity in our heart. You know, we can't do it if we are not righteous, if we are not walking according to God righteousness. So many times, you know, we walk according to our own righteousness. We got it right in our heart. You know, we don't look as though our last speaker was telling us we need to be able to hear some. There may be something that has happened, you know, your job or at school, your workplace, in church. You need to be not. You need to ask that person, you know, for forgiveness. You need to go to that person. You need to, and then once you go there, then you go to God and ask God to forgive you, because we're about, you know, winning souls. I don't care who you may be or what title you may have. You may be the president of the United States of America. You may be the vice president. You may be CEO of a large corporation, no matter who you are. I mean, it doesn't matter, because we all belong to God. We all got children. If you got a right feet, you're gonna put your shoe on that correct foot. And if you got a left one, you're going to put it on that left feet. So therefore, in order for it to be, for you to be able to walk right, in order for us to walk right, we got to do it according to God's word. We got to do it like God they do. So what we're saying today, lady, our audience, it is for you today. It is for all of us. It is for Dr. Mary McCoy. It is for Miss Nicola Garrett. It is for Pastor Francina Shank. It is for Dr. Normia, June Normia. It is for Pastor Lewis Malone. It is for all of us, Miss Helen Watson. It's for all of those you are listening to this broadcast today. I believe that God is speaking to the hearts of his people. So we want to just walk on as we go, and we want to be able to hear what God is saying, because you know what? After it's all said and done, you know, we want God to be pleased with us. I'm telling you, I want God to be pleased with me. So we're getting ready to go to our next speaker, and that will be none other than Pastor Francina Shanks. And she's going to talk to us today about unbelief. Unbelief is so important that we do not walk in unbelief. At this time, we would like to welcome Pastor Francina Shanks.
I give God all the glory today, and I just thank him for letting me see one more day. Thank you, Dr. McCoy. It's my pleasure to speak to God's people today.
And so I'm going to be speaking about unbelief. It's coming from Matthew. Matthew, the 17th chapter and the 14th verse. And when they were come to the multitude, talking about Jesus and his disciples that were with him up in the mountain, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, "Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is lunatic and sore vexed." His son, lunatic, he probably had epilepsy or something like that, and sore vexed me. He was very sick. He got sick often. He said, "For oftentimes he falleth into the fire and often into the water." And so he had a spirit. It was a demonic spirit, a spirit of infirmity that made this young man, this man's son, it would throw him into the fire, into the water, and make him convulse and everything. And so verse 16 says, "And I brought him to thy disciples." This is the man talking to Jesus. "And they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me, hither to me." And that word hither is an old word, but it means to come near or bring him close to me. That's what Jesus was saying. And faithless and perverse generation, Jesus was talking and telling his disciples, you know, you're a willful generation, wicked, willful, you know, perverse. Perverse means without faith, unbelieving. That's what he was saying to his disciples. And he wasn't just talking to them. He was talking to the multitude of people, too, that were in the crowd. So, and then Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. You see, we can get like that, and we can be in that same position. Okay, here go the disciples now. They had been following Jesus, just like the multitude. They had heard him minister the word, minister about the kingdom of God. They had seen him heal people and cast out devils. This wasn't the first time they had seen him cast out a demon out of somebody. And so we can get like that too. We can be, you know, with the Lord a long time, been following him, heard the word, seen miracles, seen him heal people of different diseases and sicknesses. Or we have been in revivals like I was. When I first got saved, I went to a lot of revivals, tent revivals, and I saw the Lord miraculously heal people and heal them of cancer and other diseases. But we can operate in unbelief, just like the disciples did here in this the way this Bible is telling it in this story here in Matthew. We can get like that too. And we have to be careful about that, because a lot of times the enemy of our soul, Satan, will come up and tell you, now, do you believe, like if the Lord, say if you were in church or in a revival and you had a sickness in your body and the man or woman of God called you out, or you went up in the prayer line to get prayer for healing or whatever, and the enemy of your soul, which is Satan, can come to you and say, now, they pray for you, but are you sure you're healed? Well, if you begin to hear Satan talk to you and you begin to, like, let that voice or that word play in your mind, keep playing over and over in your mind, you keep hearing it over and over in your mind, you know, unbelief can set in. And then if you might still feel the pain. But you got to stand on the word of God and say, no, the Bible says, by his stripes I am healed. But you can easily get on a place of unbelief, so you got to be careful about that. You got to know what the word says. And so that happens to us. A lot of us, I know we can testify how the Lord has did things for us, or something could be happening in our life, like on a job or a situation or promotion or whatever. And we know what the Spirit of God has told us about this situation, you know, that this too shall pass, or you
going to be get the promotion, whatever it is, whatever it might be. I'm just sharing that, you know, like my testimony in relation to what you can say about yourself. But I believe you're going to be battling with thoughts of doubt. The enemy will come and make you doubt what you believe in, that you believe in your God, make you doubt your God. And so a lot of people can get into a place of, like, logic. We know we have the five senses, what we eat, taste, touch, smell, hear, and see. Well, faith is not like that. Faith is what you don't see. Like if I take a ball and throw it up in the air, it's going to come down because God created gravity to keep things on the ground, on the earth, from floating out into the atmosphere. So it's just like that with faith. We have got to believe what God says, but we can't operate in a spirit of unbelief. So we have to, we're constantly fighting that all the time, even our salvation. I mean, the enemy, and sometimes put a thought in your mind, say, are you sure you're saved? You know, you might not be saved. Is it really a heaven? You know, so you have to, like, go against those thoughts of unbelief coming against your mind and make you doubt whatever, and so you can easily get into a place of unbelief, so you have to be careful with that. So here goes Jesus. He's rebuking the disciples about having unbelief or having been faithless. So then came the disciples to Jesus apart, verse 19, and said, why could not we cast him out, or why couldn't we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto them, this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. So they had unbelief. Jesus told them that. That's why you couldn't cast that demon out of that young boy. So then he told her, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed. Well, you know, I had never seen a mustard seed before, but I have always stood on this very scripture, this word where Jesus said, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed. And then there's another passage of scripture say about how mustard seed, when it grows up, grows to a very big old tree. So a friend of mine, Minister Holmes in Georgia, sent me a mustard seed to show me how it looked because I told I had never seen one. So a lot of us have not seen a natural mustard seed, but it is very tiny. But when it's planted into the ground, it will grow into a big old tree. So here Jesus was showing the disciples how faith is. Their faith is just as tiny as a little mustard seed, and it's a very tiny seed. But if you have that much faith as that little tiny mustard seed and you believe and don't doubt in your heart, what you say or ask the Lord to do, it will be done. Just like he told, if you say to that mountain, it will be removed and cast into the sea if you got that much faith. The faith as tiny as a little old tiny mustard seed. So we ourselves can get in a place of unbelief. So we have to guard our hearts. The Bible says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. So we have to guard our heart with the word of God, because Satan, the enemy of our soul, will come and make us doubt and to believe God can do the impossible, even our salvation. So we can get in a place like that. So we have to be careful. But in verse 21, he told him, howbeit, this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. So he was talking about that that demon. So we got to stay in prayer and fast and get in the word of God, believe the word, what it says, and we have to guard our heart with all diligence. Because the enemy of our soul will come, and even yourself, you have to put your own thoughts into subjection, because your own thoughts can hinder you from believing, and you can get into a place of unbelief. So I just thank the Lord for that. Guard your heart with all diligence. That's the word I leave to you today. And remember, the enemy of your soul wants you to doubt and not believe that God is real or that God is still here today doing great things. And so I want to turn it back over to Dr. McCoy.
I want to thank Pastor Shanks for coming to us this afternoon. We're going to go to Pastor Lewis Malone. He's going to take the next 10 minutes, and he's going to tell us and talk to us about unbelief. Pastor Lewis Malone.
Grace and peace to everyone this evening. I do thank God for allowing me to share the word with you all this evening. Thank you, Dr. McCoy, for allowing me on the broadcast. Thanks to all the panelists. I'm also going to be talking on unbelief, which we want to start with Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, where it says that, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You know, first thing is having faith. We know that the Bible tells us that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And in essence, it's saying that taking God at his word. We have to know that in order to please God, our behavior and the way we conduct ourselves must line up with his instructions. Number one, as we earlier today in the lesson that we talked about, unconfessed sins. He tells you had to confess your sins. You had to have the right relationship, and you definitely have to believe in him in order to please him. God, it's not enough for you to just believe that God exists. God, he don't accept that. What God wants to do is have a personal relationship with you that would transform your life. And you have to know that this reward that he's talking about is his presence, giving you his presence, coming to you. And you cannot come into his presence with unconfessed sins and unbelief and flawed relationships. So we want to look at the fact that faith come by hearing and hearing the word of God. And when you hear the word of God, you have to react to it. And to please him, we have to act in the way in which he wants us to act. But, you know, the problem is God give us ways of handling things and how to act, but the problem is it interferes with what we want to do. So we've already, when we ask God about something, we already have a predetermined way we want to handle it. And then when he give us what to say, what to do, we disregard it. And then there's no way you can please him with that. And we have to know that he says in James, the first chapter, starting at verse 5, he said, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not the man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. When we lack the wisdom on how to handle a situation in our lives, especially dealing with trials and temptation, we should ask God, and he will give us that wisdom. See, there's a difference between wisdom and knowledge. Knowledge is grasping a lot of facts. Knowledge comes from a book. But wisdom comes from above. And wisdom is grasping the truth of life. And that's what only God can give. And when he gives us this wisdom teaches us how to handle a situation according to God's instructions. One of our problems is that we like I said before, we always want to do things our own way. We already have in our hearts and our minds what we want to do. And it's contrary to what God wants us to do. And he tells us that God will give us this wisdom as you ask for it, and he will not scold you for not knowing how to handle it. It's not like us when someone asks us something that we consider to be simple. You mean to tell me you this old, you've been in the Bible all these years, you've been in the church all this time, and you don't know how to handle that situation? God would not do that to us. He would give us that wisdom that we ask for. But he said, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Oh, that right there would stop everything when we go to doubting, when we go to wavering, going back and forth. Well, did he say that? Is that what he mean? Oh, should I do that? You would never get any rest. One thing, like I said before, we have to take God at his word. If he said it, that's it. This is what we have to do. And you have to know and believe that what he says will work. Because he is so righteous and he's so just that no matter what we may think, you got to know that he's doing it for your good. And you have to believe that he is. Believe that he will come through and give you what you ask. But you have to be in his word. You have to operate according to his instructions. One thing we do know that faith is not just believing that God can, but knowing that he will. One thing we know that God will do whatever he says that he will do. He will not lie, and he cannot lie. And if we don't trust what the Lord has given us, then we can't expect to get what you ask for. He said right here, for let no man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. If you waver and if you don't believe what he says, how can you expect to get anything? I know that I wouldn't too much worry about someone at any time I give them instruction on how to handle something, and then they always want to go and question it or go to someone else for the answer, and then later on you expect to get something from me. You are in this position because you didn't follow my instructions. And so you can't expect to receive anything. And a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Lord have mercy. Double-minded, it's like you cannot be direct on anything. No matter what it is, whether it be the things of God or things personal with you, you can't make the decision. You know, we know a lot of people like that. It's always, but maybe, if, this, but, and all that. We have to stand on the word of God. When God gives us instructions, we have to believe what he said is right. We have to believe what he says is true. And we have to believe that he is who he is. He is the rewarder of all men that diligently seek him. He will come. And unbelief will hinder your prayers, and it will hinder your relationship with him. That is my word for you today. Back to you, Dr. McCoy.
Thank you, Pastor Malone, for blessing us, for giving us that last word on unforgiveness. We thank God for an unbelief. We thank God for our panelists, for sitting today, for blessing the people of God, for giving them what God has given you, what God has given them for you. So at this time, we want to say thank you for being a part of the Breakthrough broadcast on today. We, again, would like to thank Dr. June Normeal, Ms. Helen Watson, Ms. Nicola Garrett, Pastor Francina Shanks, and Pastor Lewis Malone. We're getting ready to go before the throne of grace, And we're going to ask Dr. June Normill to close us out in prayer on today. Dr. June Normill.
Thank you. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just wanted to say we want to thank you, God, for giving us, God, as a mouthpiece for you, God, to minister to your people today, God. God, we thank you, God, for all the insight you have given us, God, even to apply to our lives, God, on the things that hinder us to our prayers, God. And we thank you, God, that we will be more effective prayer warriors, God, and praying to you, God, for your people even to hear the word of God, will be able to communicate you, God, and get the answer that they desire to get. God, we ask you, God, to forgive us of our sins, God. And, God, those, God, that have not been saved, God, we thank you, God, for them casting them, God, to repent of their sins, God, and knowledge that you is Jesus Christ, God. You died on the cross, and God raised you from the dead, God. You say, whosoever call the name of the Lord shall be saved, God. And we believe, God, that you died on the cross, and God raised you from the dead, God. We thank you, God, for saving them, God. God, even for that simple prayer, God. And, God, we thank you, God, for Dr. McCoy, God, for allowing us, God, to even partake, God, into the building of the kingdom, God. And, God, every one of us, God, your children, God, as we go, God, to spread the word of the gospel, God, to our various places, God, we thank you, God, that you'll be glorified, God. The body of Christ will be edified, God. And, God, we bless you, God, as we bless others, God. And, God, right now, God, we love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. We would like to thank all of you for joining us once again on the Breakthrough Broadcast. We're going to invite you to meet us at this very same time on next Saturday at 4 p.m. here on the Breakthrough Broadcast. This has been Dr. Mary Smith-McCoy. May God bless and keep you. It is our prayer.